become apparent in the days and weeks ahead, but I want to give them an opportunity to share a little bit about what God was doing this weekend. So if you're out there, guys, and you have an opportunity or want to, come on up and tell us what's going on. Thank you, Will.
So I grew up in a very religious family. I got a lot of preachers, dad, uncles, grandpas, but I've been a Christian for a long time, but
a little closer.
All right. I've been a Christian for a long time, but I've never like been held accountable, I guess. And this weekend, that's what it was all about. So I decided to make a change, you know, and I just appreciate everybody that was with me this weekend. Pastor Scott, two of my bestest friends, you know, we see each other in a different light now. And I love that. So thank you.
And that just goes into the, I guess God gave me just, I'm overflowing because as an encourager to be encouraged all weekend, I'm filled up. And so I got to give it out. Yeah, just as a whole, for you women and for you men, the encouraging letters you wrote each man, for you, for what you did for me, and it was crucial to know your helpmate and your, which we don't have helpmates right now, but that's our mom until the woman comes into our life. It was crucial, and it was right on point with what each of us men needed. And that was just the first step. We have a game plan, and this is not just about a weekend. This is a lifestyle. We have each other. We've realized, I think the biggest thing we realized this weekend, how many warriors we have beside of each other. We know each other better than we have just 2 days ago. And I feel empowered. I feel hopeful because we're going to tackle this thing ahead of time. And we've got each other to take it every step of the way because I'm tired. And that's the one of the biggest thing. I've been to a lot of men's retreats. And the men at this retreat, I've never seen the encouragement. Every man encouraged each other. I have never seen it like this. You guys are all hungry. You all want more of God. And I want to encourage you in the way of as you go. You guys are just all about God. You want it all. And we're going to do this thing together. And as you from wives, support your man. A lot of these new areas we're all going into, I'm getting out of my comfort zone. Okay? They're going to be all out of their comfort zone. So just support them. Get a little grace and mercy. But their hearts are right. They want more of God. And I just challenge all of you men, don't let it end here. You know, game on. Game on.
One correction. Don't just give them a little grace and mercy. Give him a lot of grace and mercy, okay? I mean, this is we're leaping here.
About a week before this conference, men's conference happened, there was something that came into my heart and my mind. I didn't know exactly what it was. It seemed to be a word from the Holy Spirit of God, but it was telling me to pay attention to the direction of the wind. Where it's blowing from and where it's blowing to. And then, like in what Travis was singing freely out here, build a fire. And when you build a fire, it's going to blow in the direction of the wind.
Yeah, we found that out last night.
May smoke get in our eyes. But people that fight fires out in the forest, they know that if they're going to be overwhelmed by a great firestorm, they build a small fire behind them from where the wind is blowing. And they burn that one section. And when that part burns out, then they step in it. And when the firestorm comes, they're protected. They may get some smoke in their eyes and they may feel uncomfortable, but their lives are protected. And I think God is trying to tell me something through that. Sometimes we just need to build our own altar to God and burn a fire, even if it sacrifices a part of ourselves that doesn't feel comfortable at first. And burn some debris around us, burn up some clutter that doesn't catch fire when the firestorm comes, and know from what direction the wind is blowing so you know where to build that altar at, what Amen. Direction it is. So that's what God was telling me. And also I learned that in 2 Corinthians, or 2 Chronicles, there was a verse when David counted all the men all the way to the Dan Jan. So I found my wife in the Bible with me. And it seems to be the Dan Jane was a kind of a wilderness right on the edge of Israel. Maybe forgotten many times, but, you know, I love you, Jan, but I also admit that her name means grace and my name means judgment. And when we come together, that tells a story. And the pastor related that there's no greater grace without the judgment, and there's no greater judgment without the grace. Amen. Added to that. So I think I have a greater, bigger vision of my marriage with my wife. That's what we're entering in.
Amen.
And I love you, honey.
Amen.
That ought to get you excited, Jan. Hey, if you see a profound change in some of these guys over the next couple of weeks, you know, just don't fall out or anything like that and get hurt at home, okay? You know? Use wisdom and discernment.
Me? It's what it takes to get me out of my seat. And as Ryan was saying, I mean, I just ask for grace and mercy because this is way out of my comfort zone. But I'm trying to be obedient. And I leave the results up to him. This morning coming in, I didn't know what the service was going to be. I figured that, you know, we would share and stuff like that. But the Lord just laid this stuff on my heart as I was worshiping. And again, I'm just trying to be obedient. So just bear with me. I hope it makes sense. I'm speaking pointedly to the gentlemen, but also to the wives and this entire congregation, because we are a family. Gentlemen, we are free. Those of us that the sun sets free are free indeed. But we have failed our Father by not embracing our freedom. We have cheapened our Savior's sacrifice because we would rather stay in our conviction and repeat the same old sins rather than exploring the unfamiliar territory of freedom that our Savior has given us. We must be more familiar with the environment of freedom because we are called to lead our families into that freedom that's only available in Christ Jesus. The enemy seeks us out because Christ has called us out. Not to condemn us, but to carry out his purpose. Gentlemen, does your wife have a closer walk than you do? Women are relationship driven, and they don't deny that. But men, we have to stop denying how relationship driven we really are and invest in the relationship with our Savior to honor him, but also to give our wives. That tangible manifestation of his love through us. As being the embodiment of the reflection of him for our wives, for our kids, for our church, for our workplace, and our community. The Lord does a funny thing. He gives us the power to cast out opposition and demons. But how often does the opposition not have anything to do with stifling the Spirit? Because I've already quenched the Spirit.
Men, don't quench the spirit. Learn that the joy of the Lord comes from obedience. Not by necessarily keeping all the rules and, you know, having that that spirit of conviction come upon you to stifle you, but by hearing that still small voice and going full out in abandonment, obedience, and leave the rest up to God.
Well, you may already be able to tell that God has opened doors and changed some of us already. One of the things that occurred to me this morning, though, is that doors for relationships were opened up. Like, there are several men there I didn't know. I even had to ask one of our brothers his name when he came in because I just couldn't remember. But all that got locked in really good. And people opened up, men opened up and shared how they felt, or, you know, we discussed so many things. But I believe that so many of us learned a lot about ourselves in that time we spent together. And I don't know if all of you know it, but this blessing that the pastor and the men gave me this morning up here, every man there got that last night. And Cindy, before I forget it, I need to see you after church because I videoed Eric's as Gordon was reading it. And I tried to send it to him this morning, but it was too big. It wouldn't go, so I need to make arrangements. Anyway, so every man got really blessed, and we know that Eric really needs that today, so we're going to try to get it to him electrically so he can see it live. It's just like being there. And so anyway, I just feel like doors were open in relationships, and we learned more about each other and more about ourselves in that, and God is good. Can I say one more thing? One of those lyrics in the songs this morning said, I want to shout for joy at the mention of his name, at even the mention of his name. Pastor, I wanted to ask your permission if we as a congregation, anytime we hear you mention the name of Jesus, are we allowed to shout for joy today? It could start something. It could start something.
It could start a very okay. Big fire.
I want to encourage everybody to do that. If you notice the mention of his name, whether you're the only one who shouts out or whatever, I'm going to try to do it. If I hear you say the name of Jesus or I think we've got it. Let's do it. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. Coming from one of the quietest men in our fellowship, you can see what God can do, right? He takes things that are upside down and turns them right side up, right? If you think you're going down, he brings you up. That's just God. That's why it's unmistakably God when you see something completely, somebody completely opposite of who they've been when Jesus gets a hold of you. Yeah, okay, I get it now. All right, I'm going to have to be prepared. Hope it doesn't throw me off. Yeah, that's the other one. That's the Marine hoorah. All right. Be careful what you say.
Well, it was awesome. Such a refreshing. Just to be renewed, because you can get complacent, you can get used to things, and forget the zeal and the love that is around you. But as you say, we prophesied one time, we was a watering hole. Well, this stream has brought in some rocks. And I've been here from the beginning. I've seen things built and things fall. But this, why I know is so special, because none of these new rocks said I. They said Jesus or God. Yes. Is that awesome or what? Awesome. And it's just, it's going to be exciting. And it's renewed my heart, I know that. Yeah. And the pastors too. it gets tough. But we lived through it and we've been mad and teased each other. But do what God shows you and read his word. Follow the instructions. But it's good instructions. We all, especially the world, acts like it's something horrible. But it's out of our comfort zone. It goes back to what Ryan was saying. But that's, we've been born again. We're not of the flesh. But we battle, as we talked about. That's what it's all about. It's a battle. But we win. Amen.
That's better than any sermon I can preach. It says it all right there.
Just to see what God's doing in myself and all the men, and how much he loves us. Just the week before going to the men's retreat this past week, God cared enough to deliver me from so many things so I could just have an open heart to this weekend. It's just amazing how you go there with a plan of what you think you need to work on, and God has something else entirely and just reveals to you what his plan for you is. And I'm so thankful for a pastor that holds accountable his flock to be the men of God that we're called to be. And just this weekend was just a reminder that laying on the hands on the sick and seeing them recovering and seeing the dead raised is great. But there's no greater healing than to see a man's heart healed and to lead his family closer to God and to walk in relationship with the Lord. That's greater than any manifest miracle I can think of, than to see somebody pursue God. And the men of God in this church is, I'd not want to fight the good fight next to anybody else. You are incredible men of God, and it is my honor and privilege to be a part of your life. And I just thank you, Pastor, for being not just my pastor, but my dad that has always pointed me towards Christ no matter the cost.
I think this was my fourth retreat, and right now I'm still walking on water like Peter, getting out of the boat, and just, I'm walking on water.
That's it.
Jesus.
So this is really out of my comfort zone as well. Gordon, what you said kind of confirms something, because I've had that word freedom in my mind this morning. And I was looking at Romans 6:7. It says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now he died with Christ. We believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." And I just feel like we do take that for granted sometimes, like what he actually did for us, and that he did free us from a lot of different things. And over this weekend, hanging out with you guys, like hearing what you guys had to say and what was on your heart, just like freed a lot of things in me. And I just thank you, Pastor Scott, for this weekend and everything that we got to do together. It was truly an amazing time. So thank you, guys.
So Christy and I have been going here about 2 months. And, you know, coming up to this weekend, it was a busy week. I got another busy week coming. And I didn't know if I wanted to invest the Saturday and the Friday night and all that. And, you know, I didn't know a lot of these guys. I mean, I knew we had questionable sports fans. We had we had the quiet kid in the back I've never talked to. We had the guy with really good hat tastes, you know, over here. But the one thing I found out this weekend is that, you know, we're all, you know, fathers, we're all husbands, we're all men, we want a family, but we're all basically going through the same thing, whether, you know, we are the sports fans or we are the mechanics or we are, you know, the businessmen or whatever. You know, I mean, we're all going through the same thing. We're all struggling with the same things. We're all, you know, and it was important to see that. You know, I mean, you can get in your own world and you can think you're the only one. You're the only one that's got this problem. You're the only one that's going through this. But it was a comfort to see, you know, everybody dealing with some sort of version of this. You know, somebody may be going through something you went through 10 years ago, or, you know, you're going through it now. So it's great to see brothers in Christ that are going through the same thing. So, and, you know, together.
Appearances can be deceiving. Juan, when he got up there, was playing cornhole and just chucking that thing, you know, acting like he didn't have it together at all. You know, I don't know how to play this game. Well, something happened, and he got touched by God or something. Jesus! That's who he got touched by. Well, he did this little reverse flip. He just started doing this. And almost every single time, it was going in the hole. And we got whooped at cornhole. So God can change a man. I'm a witness to that in sports. And go Gators, right? Amen. I went there for a year, so I can say go Gators. Anybody else? Are you anybody?
I'm somebody, according to Jesus, right? Yeah, I public speaking, it's funny, I try to play guitar and sing, but doing this is way out of my comfort zone. But what Pastor Scott did to, you know, I was thinking about it last night, I'm like, all the stuff that he coordinated, it's like God had a barrel of iron, and he just dumped the barrel out, and he's like, here, you know, see what you can do with this, and he threw him in the refinery, and you were just pounding away at us in those sessions, just, I'm going to get something out of this. And so he's trying to make swords out of us. And I don't know how much time you spent getting all those words together for everybody, but, I mean, it was super. I read mine in the bed last night, thinking about it, prayed over all the guys that were, you know, with us. And that's the thing, you know, he's teaching us to encourage one another. That's what I wrote down here. I wrote, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to tear each other down. And that's what he's showing us. He's saying, hey, I'm going to build you up. I'm going to build you up. And so, you know, we just, you know, I'm encouraged that we're going to be set talking to each other and just constantly trying to build each other up. You know, you talk about manifest presence. God stopped the clock. Friday afternoon when we got to eat hubba hubba, and he stopped the clock for those sessions, because he said, hey, you know, you need to intercede on these men. These men need to know what it's like to lead their families and to be leaders, and you did that. You took that time to build us up, and I, you know, I'll just never forget that. I'll live with that the rest of my life. Jesus.
You know, again, God, it's not me. It's just what God wanted to do with you. And he's just used my gift to help facilitate. I was more of a facilitator, really, to be honest with you, Travis. I wasn't. You guys made it. You know, the Holy Spirit coming together in a group like that is powerful. And I can do nothing on my own. Obviously, it's Him. Obviously, it's Jesus. Okay. You're going to do that in the supermarket. You know that. You're going to hear their word. And then you're going to be really called charismatic. Yes. Yes. Anybody else? Any ladies? Because most of you got your guys home last night. Nobody was going to stay that second night. They wanted to get home to you guys. So maybe you got to tell, just keep the testimony. I know they were extremely tired, but I'm sure they shared because a lot of them did anyway from 11 to 1 o'clock in the morning in the room next door. Well, some of us were trying to sleep. So I'm sure that when they got home at 12 o'clock midnight last night, some of you ladies were probably for the first time in your life saying, "Will you just shut up?" And that doesn't happen often. Usually you're trying to get us to talk. Ah, you do. No,
Teresa.
You're learning. She's finally learning. Teresa, I'm so used to Teresa.
Yes. We had a Bible study Friday night. And we finished up to Judges 4, 5, 6. And Saturday, I'm reading 7. In chapter 7, God told Gideon, you're going to have to help me with this.
Okay.
Gideon, right here, this guy.
Gideon.
He told him to take men to go to a battle. Okay?
Men to go to battle.
I'm gonna read it so you're gonna understand me. I'm sorry, guys, but I got to use this because I can't. This is not enough. Oh, can you read it for me, please?
Yeah, sure.
Right here.
But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water, the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees to drink.
Yeah. So what it says to me is that my Lord got those people together. Those men were meeting yesterday with Pastor Scott. Those that God has selected. And there will be a blessing among them because God chosen to meet with Gideon and to drink water the way they were. That was happening yesterday. Amen.
Amen. Is there anybody else? Dan Jan. It's like the Cam Jam. What were we playing? Cam Jam? Is it Cam Jam? Can Jam.
That's my thing.
That's your thing? So Dan, I can't say that.
By my bed. It's the Jan can because I can't hear. And if a intruder was to come in the house, the first thing he's going to beat is my Jan can. Okay. While you guys were gone, I had a dream. And it was very powerful. I dreamed that there was an escalator on the side. You know how the escalators go up and it comes back down, but it's constantly going. And in between the escalator, there was a big room, a smaller room on each side of the big room. And I got to asking God about it, and He said that our life, we're always on the escalator. You're constantly going. And sometimes if you lose your balance, you'll fall off that escalator. Or you can go into a lot of rooms, not the right rooms. So the bigger room was in the middle of the two, and that was where God was. And then there was a smaller room, which was you, me, singular, in one room. And then on the other side was like friends and family. And as the escalator was going, God was showing me that the more time you spend in my room, your escalator will get slower. And I was thinking, what is it in my life that moves like an escalator? And I thought of my cell phone. You know, how many times do you do this on your cell phone and constantly scroll and look around at things? So I just felt like God wanted me to stop doing that, you know, but he was saying, if you spend more time in my room, you're less likely to want to go get on the escalator and get into things that you don't need to get into. So that's.
Amen. That's some of the stuff we were actually talking about on the weekend. You must have been peeking in through the window like Eric was that one day in our house. Well, I'm not going to preach, so is there anybody else? I mean, you know, if I got preaching now, you guys wouldn't get out of here till 12:15, so. It doesn't matter? Yeah, there's only one person saying that, so. Jesus, how about you? What did you say? I won't do that to you. When's the next retreat? It's probably going to be the ladies. Got some more?
Yeah. I'm a little full here. I just feel led for the men that weren't there because of your previous commitments and everything else. If everyone just extend, open your hands for receiving. For the men that weren't there, I'm going to ask for a double blessing on you. For the ones that weren't able to make it to previous commitments. But I just feel like God was putting on my heart. He wants to bless you like he did us because your hearts are right. And just receive as I pray over you. So, Lord, I just pray for the men that weren't there, my friends at work and the ones here as well that were not able to make it, Father God. I pray everything that we received, I pour out into them double fold, that they receive and they have those God moments at home, at work, wherever they go, that you speak to them in the dead of night, that you give them dreams and visions, and you give them empowerment and a boldness and confidence that surpasses all understanding, Father God, that you just fill them up to where they're overflowing, and they're so full that it's just pouring out as wherever they go, out into other men and infecting other men with your love, with your confidence, your obedience, that when people just walk by them, that they feel the love of God come off of them. In your name, amen.
So, yeah, we're going to do that. So, to conclude the service today, again, I'm not. We'll save this message for next week. But we need to pray. And I'd like our prayers to be focused in three directions. Number one, and it doesn't matter whether you went on the men's retreat or not, if you're here as a visitor or not, it's going to apply to you as well. We really need to pray that the men of not just this fellowship, but the men all around this world that call themselves Christians will assume their role as the prophet, priest, and king of their home, that they will become the kind of husbands to the wives that they need to be, the kind of fathers that they need to be to their children, and most of all, the son that they need to be unto God. And so I'd like you to be praying here in just a few minutes for families, and for the heads of the families. And then, of course, for the wives to, again, as we talked about with the men, you know, being a prophet, priest, and king doesn't mean we lord over the women. They're our helpmates. They're our completers. And we serve as servant kings, king servants. We lead, but yet we serve. So please pray for the growth of the maturity of the male headship in the home, because it's gotten lost through the years. And we need to reclaim that. So I want you to pray that way. Then there's two other things that are personal to pray for. Eric Schwartz right now. Cindy is here in the second row. He was with us at the retreat, and during our second session, he was called because his mom is soon to meet Jesus. Long life, and a wonderful life, but for any son that loses a mother, I don't care how much they know Jesus and how much you know Jesus. I didn't hear anything. Okay. No, it's because I'm serious. I know. You don't have to shout when I'm saying Jesus. But he does. He is down there. He made the trip. He left the retreat and went down. Where did he go? Alabama. He went to Alabama and rode all the way through, and he's met his mom. Not quite coherent enough probably to recognize him yet, but she's been lucid in and out. And so we're praying, and I want you to pray for that she gets so lucid and wakes up enough that he'll be able to say goodbye in a proper way, okay? And that's Eric Schwartz, and this is his mommy, his mom, who he loves very much. And then, of course, David Wilson, who's not here. He and his wife, they just left the hospital yesterday from, they're still there? Oh, that changed from the report I got yesterday. Okay, David had surgery in, wow. Okay, we need to really pray. David Wilson, the bleeding needs to stop and come home. Eric Schwartz, for just his mom to be able to say goodbye. And then for all of us, all of our families, to get the more of God, to take our roles as the proper sons and daughters of the Most High God and live it out in a real way so that people will be attracted to what we have. Amen? So let's stand up in groups of three or four and just share these prayers. We can talk directly to him. Okay, David, all right. Guys, extend your hands right over here because that's where David usually sits. And Dan, I'm going to allow you to say this prayer to David. He's listening right now. And we are all, David, in agreement with Dan in this prayer for your quick return home where you belong.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, touch David.
Yes.
As we pray in your presence and in David's presence right now, Father God. Father, may healing even start before surgery starts.
Yes.
Father, we know that you are our best healer. You are our rescuer. You are our protector. So we're asking for all your power to be laid onto David right now. Father, we thank you for this precious brother and for his family. Father, send him home soon, back into fellowship. And again, we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
If you break off in groups of three or four, please pray for the families and for Eric Schwartz.
We're going to close the service today with, I feel like, to seal all of the prayers. I want to play the shofar as they did when they marched around Jericho and they reached the last lap, and God told them to shout, and the shofar was played. And so, obviously, that message of shouting today was one that needed to get across to us. So I'm going to play the shofar, and then Brett's going to close us with some encouragement from an old pastor that, yeah, you already know what it is. Yeah, that's right. When that's done, you will be dismissed. We will have intercessors that will be standing in the corner over here. Please don't leave here without prayer if you need it for any other reason. If there are some issues that you do have, let these prayer warriors pray with you because prayer does work. So I'll play the shofar, and then we'll hear from this preacher, and you will be dismissed.
The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is the only one whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strong God and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislator. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah. My king, yeah, his office is manifold, his promise is sure, his light is matchless, his goodness is limitless, his mercy is everlasting, his love never changes, his word is enough, his grace is sufficient, his reign is righteous, his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens are...
You are the chief. You are the chief shepherd, and you are the preacher, and you are our God and our King, and we love you. Bless each and every one that has come today, and bless them as they leave this place, Father. Make them lights unto the world as they go out into this world now in their sphere of influence. And we pray all this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.